2017 AFL Pride Match Celebration, live on Joy 94.9 from Sydney. Listen are proud to sponsor this Joy broadcast and delighted to give ongoing support to a community-driven radio station such as Joy 94.9.
Coming to you live from the Sydney Cricket Ground, this is the 2017 AFL Pride Game on Joy 94.9. We are the Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Danae, and I'm joined by my crow-loving mate.
I thought you were going to call me your crow host.
No. Oh,
that's good, though.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, let's do that. I made a joke. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, good.
Applause from the crowd.
So Becky's our crow-loving mate, and we have another South Australian about to join us shortly.
Oh, my people.
We have two of the game's great women. So thank you for coming and chatting with the Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. Sydney Swans director Sam Mostyn and AFL GM of Diversity and Inclusion Tanya Hosh are here. Welcome, women.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's very exciting to have you here. Earlier this year, Sam Mostyn, former AFL commissioner and currently Sydney Swans director, told journalist Martin Flanagan that there's always a human story being played out somewhere on the field. Mm. And then there are all the stories being played out in the crowd. Mm. How important is it that we hear stories from LGBTI Australian rules loving followers?
It's very important. And when I talk about stories, I always think about the stories of people we don't get to hear enough of. And so our LGBTIQ supporters, I think, have often felt they haven't been able to tell their story. And through processes like the Pride Game and St Kilda's great pioneering work last year with the Pride Game in Melbourne, we learnt.
Yeah.
We learnt, and we learnt the stories through the Vic Health work that was done on whether it was a game that changed things for people who came, and it did. We learnt that there was a really important moment for us to capture as an industry and for us as a club to provide that game every year. So there'll be stories tonight that we'll be following and listening to and understanding for the first time, and really it's all about everyone belonging in this game.
And Sam, was it a no-brainer for the Swans to jump on this with the Saints, or was it something that you guys had to think about before you got involved in the game?
Well, it predates my joining the Swans board last year's first game, but I know the Swans jumped straight in and were really delighted to partner with the Saints, who we really admire for their leadership in this area. Matt Finnis and his team have been extraordinary, as you would know. Mm. But having been at that game and seeing what it meant for our players, for our supporters and for the community, and knowing how important these issues are in the Sydney market, that was the no-brainer. The club, through the board and management and the players, saying we're going to do this every year in Sydney. Yeah. So that's why you see tonight, that's why it's going to be a great crowd tonight, and why we've committed to this on an annual basis.
We have very different, we almost feel like we're part of the expert panel on AFL Pride Games, because there's been two, and well, the second one hasn't started yet, but we've been there for both of them, and it's interesting in the ways that Melbourne and Sydney are different in the way they are politically aligned, the way culture plays out, the way they, well, their relationship with Australian rules football to start with.
Yeah.
We have had a chance to chat with GWS Giants, Amanda Ferrugia and Renee Forth earlier tonight.
Wow.
Because there's no Sydney Swans in the AFL.
Not yet.
But we'll get to that. You launched your diversity action plan this week.
Yeah.
How excited are you to be able to release that to the broader public? Because I've had a read. I don't know if that makes me a super nerd, but I've already read your plan.
If you're already on the advisory group for us on this issue, I hope you read through the commitments and felt that it was an appropriate set of commitments for a football club to make.
Yeah.
What I like about the plan is that it's low on pros and high on action.
Mm.
So there's actions with dates and accountabilities throughout the plan. The Pride Game on an annual basis is a commitment within the LGBTQI pillar of the of the plan. So here we are. Committing to another game next year, and I'm delighted to say that tonight at our chairman's dinner, our chairman Andrew Pridham gave unequivocal support to marriage equality and gave one of the best speeches I've heard a president give on this topic, and I'm sure you'll hear more about that in the coming days because of his strength of his conviction. He actually read out a letter from a member who was suggesting that this topic has no place in football, and he read it to say this is exactly why the Pride Game has a very distinct role in our community. So very powerful stuff. But all of our pillars are equally of value. So advancement of women, celebration of multiculturalism, embracing disability in all its forms,
yeah.
And the advancement of LGBTQI alongside our Reconciliation Action Plan. So we stay with our commitments under our RAP, we add the DAP, and I've got to say that one of the really great supporters of this has been the Rainbow Swans.
Mm.
So Serena leading a group of 400 members of the Rainbow Swans, all fully paid up members of that community, yep. who hosted us tonight at the Beresford on the way here. It was fantastic. I wish you'd been there, because it was just full of joy, just like you guys.
Yeah.
And those members will grow over time. I think the group now has 750 Facebook members. Mm. That will grow. But that level of community support and the insights Serena brought to us, to the committee, yeah. about that, for that pillar around LGBTQ, we couldn't have done it without it.
And yeah. Sam, you use that word joy, and I think, isn't that so important that tonight's a celebration?
Yeah.
You know, that it's a really positive celebration of the community and all that football can offer to the community, and the community can offer to football as well.
Yeah, why wouldn't we be celebrating? And
yeah.
In Sydney particularly, given the strength of the gay community here, it's a really important part of what football can do with engagement. Andrew Pridham tonight made the point that he wishes there wasn't the need for a pride game, and that we get to a point where it's simply a game that celebrates. But at the moment, it's playing a very significant social role, mm. and we're really proud of that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But we'll keep joy at the heart of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you should be proud of it too.
Yeah,
it's
thank
wonderful.
You.
It's wonderful.
Sam, it's almost 10 years since you and Linda Dessau, now Governor of Victoria,
yes.
Sat on the AFL Commission together. When you looked forward to 2018 then, did you see the AFLW shining on the horizon?
I think Linda and I would both say we did.
Yeah.
Not as many people around the table around football probably thought that at the time, but we had confidence and really believed in the women themselves, the players. We'd been around the country looking at those women players, and we knew that there was this unmet just craving to play from the women lovers of football. So I could always see it there, and I'm just so proud that Gil McLachlan brought forward the start date from 2020 to 2017. That was a great act of leadership, and to see the league start earlier this year with such extraordinary support.
It was awesome.
And you've met so many of those players already.
Yeah.
They're already superstars,
yeah.
and they've brought a whole new element to the game. So just so delighted that it is there, and we'll have lots more teams in the next 5
yeah.
years, so it'll go from strength to strength.
Back backs for Adelaide, not back for Fremantle, so we don't care. You can stop now.
Great. You're doing pretty well.
Absolutely fine.
You guys have done that.
You've
bit.
Done okay.
Now, Tanya Horsch is the AFL's General Manager of Diversity and Inclusion, and Tanya, you've been in that role for about a year now. How have you enjoyed it so far?
Well, people keep asking me that, and that's not quite the word I'm using
yet.
Don't ask that question. I couldn't say that enjoyment is what it is. What it is a massive challenge, mm. but I'm incredibly optimistic about it, I guess is the more accurate way to describe it. I mean, it's an enormous privilege to get an opportunity to do work across all of these different portfolio areas, and just, you know, the fact that this job hasn't existed before, I'm sort of trying to carve out what it means. It's a very, very broad brief, but it's one that I feel just thrilled to have the opportunity to have a crack at.
Yeah, absolutely. We've just got the Swans running out on the field now, and they've got this amazing rainbow banner too, which is just fabulous to see the boys run through that. Tanya, why, from an AFL perspective, is tonight really important for the AFL to show this this pride, I guess?
Well, I think we well and truly know and have to acknowledge that, you know, there's a huge diversity of people who love footy from all sorts of backgrounds, and our job is to make sure whoever those people are, regardless of their backgrounds, and particularly tonight thinking about sexuality, we need to make sure that those people feel like they're part of the footy community. And I know they are. I've gone to
yeah.
games more times than I can count with a lot of my friends that might tick that sexuality box differently to me. And I just know that their pride in this game and the performances on field are just as great as mine are.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want the Australia's game to look like Australia, don't we? We want the administrators, the coaches, the players, the supporters.
The commentators.
but the community to be reflected in the game. I think it's... I'm really pumped that we have these two women in the same place at the same time. Nothing can go wrong in this box now, because the competition will fall apart without you. You've had much work with reconciliation action plans. So you have seen RAPS in action.
I have.
And how many diversity action plans have you seen?
Well, this would be my first, so congratulations to Sydney Swans, again, being at the forefront of putting their money where their mouth is, I guess. It's really easy to talk a big game in terms of your values and what you stand for, but to actually commit yourself to actions publicly and say, these are the things we're going to do, this is how we're going to demonstrate it. You know, often people talk about, well, it's the right thing to do, so that's why we do it, but there's also a very strong business case for doing this.
Absolutely.
And I think we need to acknowledge that it makes good sense on a whole range of measures. Obviously, inclusion and creating an environment where everyone feels safe. That's the community I know I want to live in, and I think that leadership from footy clubs in relation to that is incredibly important, because they are a common denominator from people of all walks of life who might not ever come into contact or share anything else in common. And so if we through football can create an environment where people can feel like they can share their individuality as a member of the same team, you know, we might vote for different parties when it comes to elections, you know, we might take different modes of transport to work, we might have very, very different musical interests and dance styles for that matter.
We might see some of them at the after party, I suspect.
You're invited to free party.
But being able to bring all of those things together in a positive way and also confront the challenges as well, because, you know, you don't get to just throw all of that stuff together and just see it all fall, you know, seamlessly. There are going to be challenges. It means that there's conversations we have to have with each other that we haven't had before. But if we're going to be an inclusive game, an inclusive community, these are the very conversations we need to have.
And that's why we were so pleased to be part of the Pride Game in Hamilton, because it is regional Victoria and regional Australia that those conversations need to be had in earnest and in honesty with football and netball clubs, a pivotal point of communities across the country. It's a big country, 24 million of us living here, so we need to talk with each other.
And it is those, we're seeing the games on the grassroots level and the games at the AFL level, and hopefully somewhere in between that spectrum we're kind of getting everyone involved and everyone included. And like you say, Tanya, football's a great leveller, you know, it doesn't matter what your gender, sexuality, love of coriander is, you know, football's for everyone.
I love coriander.
Yeah, some people don't know.
But we do know from the research that was done on the first Pride game that the positive messages that went to young kids all around the country, but particularly in rural and regional communities, in a sports room, playing their first sports, in a change room, who were concerned about their sexuality, thinking about their sexuality, that Pride game had an impact on those young people. So I think that's one of the big impacts we've learnt about. It's not the only one, but it was a significant one.
And one of the others is that 3 out of 5 people surveyed said they felt unsafe or harassed at going to an Aussie Rules game previously, but AFL Pride game 2016, they were 90% feeling safe, welcome included. And that's why we're here tonight. Sam Mostyn, Tanya Hosh, thank you very much for coming and talking with Chicks Talking Footy.
We got the Wonder Women of football tonight, didn't we?
We've been interviewed by the Wonder Women, so thank you.
Stop it. Thanks very much, ladies. Enjoy the rest of the game.
Thank you.
Go Swans.
Good one to sneak that in.
Sorry.
So.